till that person was ready to come back to the monastery, and usually there'd be three or four with different errands, very often to see doctors and things like that. And so in his waiting, he would fiddle around the library, he'd walk around the streets and things like that, and he'd come back and say, you know, the sadism that I hear on the radio, and the fury and the impoliteness and this, and he would come back, as he said, plague-ridden. And also, he had a great dread of people recognizing him, and because then he was cast into what he called this role of the ideal self. And he said, finally, you know, let's be honest, I cannot live up to their expectations, and the only thing I can do is honestly try to be what is true to me. And he would come back because he had to have that refreshment. And as he said, you know, the trees don't judge and the sky is neutral, and here, finally, I'm true again. So it wasn't a question of his wanting something, it was a question of his feeling that this was his vocation, and that he could only be true to his vocation by that kind of solitude.
So you were in striving for that mountain, it seems that it was broken down because of his popularity and
yes.
Basically his writings.
Yes.
Did that hamper him at all in terms of, did he ever consider not publishing that?
Oh, stuff? Heavens, constantly. Constantly. He also had a high sensitivity to criticism by colleagues. I know that in, you know, when he was very, very famous, a fellow poet wrote him, after he wrote Emblems of the Season of Fury, which I think is one of his most beautiful books, and this poet wrote him and castigated him for the violence of the language that he said Merton had used in this, and he himself was high. He used the most violent language in castigating Merton. You know, and so Merton said, you know, without any melancholia, without any undue self-examination, I come again to the realization that I don't have to publish. You know. Certainly, at the end of his life, he wasn't publishing much. He was very deeply involved in, he would never have stopped writing. This was as natural to him as breathing. But less and less did he want his works to appear. And he was really on his way to stopping publishing, except for things like the Asian Journal and things of that sort. Yes?
I think you'll follow up with one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat bothersome word in which they not so often presented as people that couldn't make it in the outside world, that were somehow pathological.
I'll tell you, people that come up with this kind of an explanation are people who've got to explain things that they don't understand. I've often said that this is sort of like saying that you leave Dallas to go to heaven. You know, you're abandoning Dallas. This is ridiculous. There are certain vocations to the monastic life. I don't think there's any question that Merton had a profound monastic vocation. This is he himself would have utterly disliked the idea of sacrifice. This was normal to him. What was normal to him may to a person to whom that is not normal appear to be a great sacrifice. I used the word. I'm sure I didn't. If I did, I apologize. Because I certainly, I don't like that word in conjunction with Merton, who was living his fullest potential through that. I think what I said, I know what I said, this is a man who already had highly developed taste. And when he first came in, one would have thought it would be a tremendous sacrifice, you know, to go to that kind of Spartan food, to that kind of Spartan existence, to that kind of thing where none of the appetites find satisfaction, not even the appetite for aesthetic beauty, that sort of thing. He really loathed the old kind of pietistic art that was, you know, stuck on everybody's walls and that kind of thing. These were an effrontery. And I think what I suggested there was that one would think that the sacrifice of contact with Mozart and contact with great paintings and contact with good food and contact with things like that, you know, would have been almost impossible to him, and on the contrary, he thrived. He took to it just remarkably. Is that a proper answer to your question? Because I don't like the word sacrifice in that sense either.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.